Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Nerd Talk Now. Rounding out the week here, my name is Adam Portras, and if it's your first time listening, you can always join us live every Sunday through Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time over at facebook.com/nerdtalknow. We do a live show, man, so not only do you hear this on a podcast, not only do you see it on the YouTubes, you can join in, be part of the conversation. That's kind of what we like to do here, man. We've had a pretty busy week so far. Great episode yesterday, despite some technical difficulties. We got around said technical difficulties, and I think we were all the more better for it. And, you know, it's one of those things that you learn. You learn what works, you learn what doesn't work, and you take that and you move on in the future. And I think that's definitely what we're going to be doing, is being able to go, oh, here's how we've got to set that up. So, yeah, definitely thanks to Jim and Joe last night for coming through and doing some of the first Nerd Talk Now throwdown debate. And we really appreciate that. It turned out a hell of a lot better than I ever could have imagined it being. For those of you watching, I was sorry about that. It was just that it still bugged the hell out of me that we couldn't quite get it down right. But if you listened to the podcast or watched on YouTube, you didn't know any better because I edited all the really horrible stuff out. I tried to make myself look as good as I possibly can, damn it. So, a lot of people are going, well, you could maybe not say that, and that wouldn't clue people into you being a goober. And I'm like, that's true, but that's not my style, man. I take ownership. I take ownership when I screw up, which is quite often. So, I don't know that we're going to have a big, big show today. Have some interesting stuff. I think the main crux of what I want to talk about, we got your regular movie news, a little bit of that stuff. We've got an interesting video about Walt Disney World, more specifically. Avatar Land is coming up. We have some very interesting Avatar stuff to show you. I haven't watched the full video myself because I'm a little bit scared too. Like, I watched the first couple of minutes, and boy, oh boy. I tell you, I was like, this is something I got to react to on the show so people can actually see it. And because, man, oh man, I think it looks like a glorious, glorious cringe video. So that's what's on the docket today, man. We're going to be doing some of that. But the biggest thing that I want to talk about is I didn't have a show last Thursday because I was online for the Nintendo Switch. My initial plans, of course, were to buy one and then turn around and sell it at exorbitant prices and, just be able to somehow, I don't know, put together some sort of, I envisioned some sort of Scrooge McDuck-like tank that I could be diving into with the money that I would receive for this. I don't know that I would have made a lot of money, because in the 11th hour... In the 11th hour, I decided maybe I just need to go and, maybe this is for me. Maybe I'm not going to use this for anyone else. But so I'm like, screw it. All right, so what I'm going to do is, because I'm curious now, I'm going to look and see what this thing is going for to see if I made the right decision. I'm going to look. Let's take a quick look on eBay, see if it's actually worth a darn. So Nintendo System Joy-Con, brand new with Zelda, $425. See, that's not bad. $3.95 for the, So it's selling for about what it costs. I wouldn't have made much money. And for the amount of time that I waited for this damn thing, I feel I earned it. It got to the end of it and it was just like, I think I've earned having this. And so that's what I'm, so I decided to keep it. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, what my kind of thoughts are, being just one full weekend. I've had a lot of time to play around with it, and I have some thoughts, I have some ideas. And now again, of course, this being the kind of Thursday/Friday show, end of the week show for everybody, if you'd like to call in at any time, talk about any particular subject, like I said, it's going to be a loose freeform show today. Got a couple of things. As we learned on yesterday's show, we can only have one person on at a time until everybody decides they want to be friends. But, Jamie says, once I lick it, it's mine. Technically, I only licked the Zelda a cartridge itself. I think we can call it a cartridge because it's not really a cartridge per se in the old kind of sense. game stick. That doesn't sound right. I'm, for lack of a better word, I'm going to call it cartridge until somebody tells me it's officially called something else otherwise. So be that as it may. Okay, so let's talk about it. First of all, was I, at this point, one weekend, am I glad that I kept it? I would say yes. At this point, I would say I'm pretty, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like exuberant, out of my mind, thank sweet Jesus, game cart. That's a good one, Joe. That's probably close. That's probably closer than game stick or cartridge, game card. That works. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like, you know, I need to change my pants, and 1 being I've made a horrible, horrible mistake, I'd put myself at like probably a 7.5. I'm really happy with what I've got. I mean, what we've got is small, let's be frank. Is that, you know, there's one game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Yes, there are a couple of things out there. But the reviews for 1-2 Switch were not super hot, and you got to have people around to play that, and I don't have a ton of people around me to play it a lot that would be interested in playing it, so I nixed on that one, and I've heard definitely not worth $50, maybe worth $20, but definitely not $50. Bomberman, never been a Bomberman fan myself, so I never got on that. I did pick up Snipper Clippers, which is another game that's kind of a puzzly sort of type thing. You can play it single player, but honest to God, it's almost not worth playing single player, just because you have to switch off and stuff. It's a team game, if you will. You know, everybody gets to have their own little character, and then you work in cooperation, and that's what makes the game fun, is you working back and forth and having to kind of share minds together and go, how do we fix this? Should we do like this? Maybe we should do like this. Oh, I know, we do like this. That's how you fix everything. And I think that's definitely the best way to go about it. So I don't think I would, you know, unless you got somebody to play with, I don't know that I'd go so far as to recommend that game. But let's be honest. Zelda Breath of the Wild is the reason why people got this. This is this system seller, if you will. Now, a lot of people are saying, like, hey, man. You know, and I was this person before. This is one reason I thought I was going to sell it, because they just don't have enough games out there, right? I thought it's got one game. Why buy it? Why buy a system for one game right now? And when you really think back and look over the years, don't act like, you know, and people that are especially anti-Nintendo are screaming out, just going, they don't have any games, man. That's just like Nintendo not having any games. Well, if you look back on all the launches of, you know, the big consoles, even as, you know, as soon as just recently, they've all come out with one, maybe two killer apps, but for the most part, nothing much. And the biggest thing is that, you know, they have to limit it to a degree. I mean, when the Xbox came out, what was there? Halo. Halo was the game that was there. You know, I'm not a PlayStation guy, so I don't remember. There was only like one real launch title on that really, you know, kind of kicked it off for everybody. So it's always been kind of limited. You don't have, if they came out with 15 games, people wouldn't buy the 15 games that are out. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I wouldn't mind having another game. That's the biggest thing, is I wouldn't mind having another game. Just like the Mario Kart 8 that's coming out in, next month or something like that, which is a redux. It's not even like, hey, we did an all-new Mario Kart just for the Switch. No, this is pretty much the Wii U version souped up. And, you know, I mean, it's all fine and well, but it'll be something else for me to play. Oh, my nose is killing me today. So I'm like, no, I don't have a Coke problem. I know that's what you're thinking. But yeah, it's you know, Breath of the Wild is the game that came out, and it is what it is. And I'll be honest, I quite like it. So Jamie says, did you see the Kotaku comparison of New Zelda on Wii U versus the Switch? Almost no difference in quality. I'd actually believe that. Because if you look at a lot of the different things that are out there, a lot of video and stuff, this thing has been in development. I watched a really interesting video. I don't know if I'd had the link for it to put it up in the show notes and everything, but I saw a video last night on YouTube about kind of the history of Breath of the Wild and how, like, this game dates back to, like, you know, 2013 even. So this thing has been long, long gestating, and which actually gets me excited. it gets me excited because this was supposed to be just a regular Wii U game, right? And they decided, hey, we'll put it over onto the Switch. And I think it really works well on the Switch, and we'll talk about that here a little bit more in just a minute. But that kind of excites me because it looks pretty darn good. Now, again, I'm no idiot, and I know that, you know, Xbox and PlayStation stuff is always going to look better, and I know you PC Master Race people out there just like, well, you'll never... we get it. We get it. Shut up. We appreciate you, PC Master Race people. Just lighten up a little bit. Some of us just like consoles, okay? I got nothing against those people, but my God, get your head out of your own asses, people. Come on. But no, it's fine. It's fine. The quality of it's fine. It looks pretty good. It looks fairly impressive. I'll be really honest with you. And the fact that it is pretty much what's going to be, you know, put out on the Wii U as well, which is where my cousin got it. He's just like, man, I want a Switch, but right now I don't want to spend $380 for Switch and a game when I have a Wii U. Why don't I just go and get the game and play it on Wii U, of which he is, and he seems to be enjoying it, you know, thoroughly. So that's good. But man, the game is really good. So let's talk about the game a little bit. As I kind of said previously, this thing is gigantic. This game is really, really huge. And I would say it's Red Dead Redemption big. For those of you that played Red Dead Redemption, you'll know that that is a giant size. It's at least that size. It's gigantic. There's so much going on here, so much land to traverse. I'm glad we have kind of some warps system, so to speak. If you get certain towers or temples or things like that, you can kind of fast travel back and forth. Which, woo! Thank God they put that one together. But the save system is pretty good. There's a nice little auto-save feature. It's always kind of running in the background there. Kind of, saves you at some pretty decent points for the most part. And then, of course, you can save specifically at any particular time that you want, which is nice. So if, you know, you die, you can kind of come back and not have to go through too much rigmarole again. But I think the biggest thing that's different for this game than it has been for any of the other kind of Zeldas and things like that is really the true, true open-world nature of it all. It used to be with Zelda and a lot of other games, it's just like, hey, you can go beyond this point right here, but you need X to get further, or you need to beat, you know, linearly beat something else to get to this point. This game, you can go anywhere, you can do anything, and that is for the good and for the bad. You can travel anywhere, but, you know, if you don't have the right equipment or you don't have the right kind of stamina, you go up against a tough enemy, you're going to get your ass beat and get your ass beat fast and realize, oh, maybe I don't belong here. Maybe I should just pack up and leave. I was having some problems beating some characters. And not particularly for the fact that, you know, I sucked, which is what it felt like. It felt like, God, I can't be this bad. It felt like I was really, really terrible. But every now and then, if you're just like, shoot, I don't know what I'm doing here, I'm going to go look on the internet, find out exactly how to beat this particular thing, right? Because that's what it is. And that's why I laughed at the guy when he's when they're at EB. God bless him, it's his job to do so. But he goes, okay, all right, you got the system there, you got Breath of the Wild. You want the strategy guide? I'm like, we got the internet, bro. I think a strategy guide is pretty much flown the way of the dodo bird. Though some of them are nice, I'll be honest, and it's nice to kind of flip through. But literally, when you know less than a week later, you can go and there's a YouTube basic tutorial for how to do like everything that you want to do in the game. That's pretty damn useful. So I said no to that, and so that's how I did it. So I would go and I'd be like, okay, so here's how I beat this particular character. Here's kind of the strategy that you use. And man, oh man, if it doesn't seem like these guys are doing it a hell of a lot simpler, then I end up doing it. And that's when you sit back and realize, hey, maybe I should make my character better. Maybe I should technically, even though I've gotten to the boss in this particular level, maybe I should technically not be this far along. So what do you do? That's the nice part about the game is that you can go out, you venture out, you go other places, you come across all these different temples, and inside the temples are basically puzzles. Sometimes there's enemies in there and you kind of fight them and stuff, which is fine. But most of it is fairly puzzle-based. So you'll go through, you'll figure out how to do the puzzle and everything, and then boom, you're done. And I think that's what's really cool. And then the more you do that, so once you've completed like four temples, you go up to one of these little stone creatures that you know that you go to in either like a town or something like that, and you kind of pray to it, so to speak. And then you'll either give you like a heart container, which is another little heart up on the little thing up there on top, or it will give you a more stamina. So, and you can pick either or, which is nice. So I was like, you know what? I want to be able to beat this thing, man. So I went out and I did more work. I put more hustle into it, you know. And I've gone through, got my hearts up, got all my gear up and everything, because you're constantly on the lookout for gear and upgrading new things. And I'll be honest. And then when I came back to that exact same boss that I was having problems with, boom. I mean, not like super cake easy, but at least 50 times easier than what I was doing last time. And it's the difference between having, you know, this much skill and then just that much more skill just above it, you know, being able to go through. And that's kind of what's cool, is that it, in a way it seems like you're not really, there's a challenge that's to it, right? But it's not really holding you back. It's also just saying you can do this. You just got to go out a little bit further. You got to stretch yourself a little bit further, and eventually you'll be able to do it. You'll be able to do it with a lot more ease than you had, you know, previously imagined that you could. And I think that's a big thing. And that's what I like about it. And I think, wow, that's interesting. I think my Nerd Talk Now logo's backwards. Okay, that's fine. We'll just take that out of there. Anyways, so yeah, I'm liking it so far. I'm having a really good time with it. But is it worth the system by itself? I would definitely say so. I want to tell you something about this. This is really interesting. So, as you guys all know, you can play it, you know, portable, handheld like this, or plug it into the TV and be able to do stuff. So, I was sitting all day basically playing through one of the temples there. And one of the ideas is there's a ball that drops from the ceiling. And you remember those little things that you could get at, like, Cracker Barrel or wherever, that had, like, a little marble that's dropped in there? It's got a little plate of plastic above it, and you kind of have to tilt it to make it go through the maze and everything? That's essentially what this was. And because you have gyroscopes and everything, you moved your switch around in order to kind of get it through the little balls, you know, to get the ball to go out and jump over the little chasm as it's supposed to be. Interesting, though, because the more you would tilt it when you had it handheld, the more it kind of got a little bit tough to see the screen. It was a little kind of a pain in the ass. So what do? You take off the little controllers. You put this on the TV. And then, of course, you grab the little remote. So instead of having to look at a screen all the time, you've got this little bad boy. And what I did is, because this whole platform and everything was floating in the air, and however you moved it, that's how it ended up going, I literally turned the control upside down. That platform also turned completely upside down and was an entirely smooth back surface to where that ball could drop over there, and all I had to do was tilt and pop it up in the air, popped right over to its place. It's kind of weird little stupid things like that that kind of made me so happy that I felt like I kind of accomplished something. It almost felt like I cheated. And maybe in a technical way I did. But it was fun. It was very interesting. It was very different than anything that I've done before. And it's little tiny things like that that I think are going to keep me coming back to this game. I've put tons of hours in it already. I think I'm going to continue to put more and more hours in it. And like I said, It's definitely worth the fun. If you're a big Zelda fan like I am, you'll definitely want to get it. But you certainly, if you can wait, you can wait. You certainly can. And, you know, like I said, once I realized Nintendo started really, cranking up the lever on making these bad boys, I also realized, hey, I'm not going to make a whole hell of a lot of money. So I, you know, decided to keep it for myself, and I think I made the right decision. I'm having a blast with this thing, and the fact that I can take it anywhere, play it on the TV, play it on the go. Sometimes I'll just take the dog outside, I'll sit in the chair or something, and he kind of goes, you know, running around, going nuts and stuff, and I just got my game there, and I just kind of look up every now and then, make sure he's not biting somebody's face off, and then we're kind of back to, you know, it's nice. It's really, really cool, and the quality doesn't really drop all that much when you're going from the portable to the or going from the television to the portable and stuff like that. So again, I think it's something that's going to be very, very cool in the future. We're not quite there yet. I'd say my experience right now, I'm using it every day, and I'm using it for hours on end every day, so I'm having a lot of fun with it. But it'll all depend on how much you're a Zelda fan right now. But that's my report a weekend. I don't think I'll talk too awful much about it more unless I kind of come across some stuff that really, wows me or anything, or until I end up getting another game, which hopefully will be sometime next month. We'll talk a little bit about Mario Kart and some other things like that. But, so that's that. Okay, so let's get into some stuff, everybody. We have some news and things of that nature. And like I said, if you see the Skype there at the bottom of the screen, if you'd like to call in, just give a call. We're free here. We don't bite. Y'all seen it before. So, okay. First thing I want to talk about here is it's a trailer. Yeah, we got a trailer or two we can kind of show here because I've been yapping for a little bit. Let's let somebody else have the spotlight. There's a new trailer out for a movie called Rough Night, and let me see if I'm going to play this. I'm going to see if the chat room can figure out what movie this seems most like. So here's the trailer for Rough Night. It's a red band, so watch your ears, kids. If the damn thing will play. All right, let's reload the screen again. So basically, it stars a bunch of ladies that pretty much everybody is going to end up knowing. You see them there. You got your Scarlett Johansson. You got your Lucy Bell. You got your Kate McKinnon there. You got your gal from Portlandia. It's also directed by a dude that rolls the Portlandia and stuff like that, which I have never watched, but I hear is quite good. Joe apparently has seen the trailer, and he definitely knows. But let's go ahead and give it a shot if it decides to load. Thanks websites that do your own particular flash-based bullcrap that just does not want to work ever. Ugh, what a real pain in the ass. Why can't these people get on board? It's just like YouTube is the simplest thing out there. It runs HTML5. It does the right thing, and it doesn't look... Damn it. Oh, no, so Joe, you haven't seen it. You're just guessing from the name. Okay. Well, that's a damn fine guess, and I think most people would do it. Jesus Christ. Let's see if we can go to their Facebook page. Again, this is, you people piss me off with this stuff, dude. You really, it's like, do you want people to actually watch your crap? And it comes from BuzzFeed Entertainment. That ought to tell you everything that you need to know right there, kids. Anyways, I don't know if we're going to play it, because it doesn't want to play. All right, so... It is what it is. Yeah. You're close. You're close, Joe. It's very kind of Hangover-esque. I'll be honest, when it first started, it did seem like, oh, I don't know if this is going to be all that good. Then it kind of turns into almost like a whodunit kind of sort of thing. It's the Hangover minus the super Hangover, but look, it looked okay. But again, it also looked like a lot of the other things that we're seeing a lot recently, which is, hey, the dudes are doing it. Let's let the ladies do it. The ladies are going to have just as good a time as the men. And it doesn't work as well, I don't think. Not usually. I mean, sometimes it does, but sometimes... All right, the hell with this. We're quitting. Sorry, Rough Night. You don't get any love from me. Forget about it. You're out of the picture. I've got nothing against women in comedy. Love them. Love it when they do funny things. But having them do the same things that the guys do, I don't know that necessarily always works because we're disgusting, horrible people, guys. We are. I think anyone else in the chat room can definitely be on board with that. We're pretty much all... So it's Hangover meets Horrible Bosses, says Edward. Maybe a little bit of that. But it's more Hangover-esque, I would say. But just not... I don't know. Kate McKinnon's putting on like an Australian accent in this. I like her a lot, but it seems... I think I have the same problem I have with her that I have with myself. You ever meet somebody and you hate them and you don't know why you hate them? And then after a little while, you think to yourself and you try to... you try to analyze the situation. You're just like, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of real good reason for you to hate this person. But you do. You hate them. You're just like, I hate this person. They're terrible. They're an awful person. There was somebody like this when I was growing up. His name was Gavin. Gavin was a douchebag. I hated Gavin. Gavin was like maybe a year or two older than me. But man, I hated that dude. And then one day, after some really, really deep self-reflection, I finally realized why I hate Gavin. Gavin was exactly like me. That's why I hated him. I hated Gavin because he reminded me of myself. And it was just, and it felt like somebody trying to usurp your position or something. It's just like, hey, I'm the wacky funny guy around here, damn it. Hangover meets Bridesmaids. I don't know that I'd give it that much credit, Edward. I think that this is probably going to be probably a lesser than both of those. And I like the first Hangover movie. I'm not as wild and crazy about it as everyone else was. I certainly don't think it needed two sequels. Bridesmaids, I thought was really, really good. Maybe this is just the punk rock in me. But it's one of those things where like something can get so successful that it makes everyone else that it makes people like me hate it because it is so damn successful. And like everybody just goes, oh, that movie, that's the greatest movie that ever was, man. Like I liked Get Out, and we talked about that last week. I liked Get Out. I thought it was a pretty good movie. But man, people are treating that thing like it's the most amazing thing since sliced bread. And I'm like, I don't get that. I had fun at it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good for what it was. Was it amazing? I don't know if I go so far as to call it amazing. I'd say it was pretty darn good. But I think this is a lot of the same way. And that's what I think about Kate McKinnon. Is I think Kate McKinnon is kind of an asshole like me. And that's why I don't like her. Look at her. She's trying so hard. Look, she really wants people to like her. But she ultimately falls short. And people probably think she's an asshole. It's me. I'm seeing myself in Kate McKinnon. So that's pretty much my assumption. All right, next story. so that's a movie that no one's going to go see because those douchebags don't have a player that loads up properly. Speaking of douchebags, holy cow, next story here. Watch a tour of Avatar Land. Is this what the end of the Avatar sequel looks like? This one comes to us from Slash Film. So they did a little thing on Good Morning America. And Good Morning America, I don't know if you have ever watched it. Is it Good Morning America? Whatever the hell's NBC. I used to work at an NBC station, so you think I would damn well know. Today Show, I think. No, it's ABC, so it's Good Morning America. I don't know. I don't fucking know. I'm stupid. Look, it's been a long week. Anywho, here's a little something. I started to watch this thing, man. And I almost plotzed, as they say. So let's take a look here and see if you and I together, as a group, can go through and not try to gouge our own eyeballs out. This is on YouTube, so thank God it'll actually fucking load.
To our crew, this is Meg, our set designer.
Yeah, GMA.
The Imagineers. I feel like we have been transported right here.
I feel like we've been transported. Can't you see they brought in all of these fake ass plants? Doesn't it feel like we've really been transported to another dimension? They threw some black lights on it and a little bit of fog. My God, it's like we're on another planet.
It is amazing what you all do. I appreciate that so much. And the movie Avatar took us into another world, and now you can explore.
Took us into another world 15 years ago. You guys remember that?
For real, it's Walt Disney World Resort's new Pandora, the world of Avatar. Our Paula Ferris got a sneak peek at this top secret new experience. We say hello to you, Paula.
All right, now this is where, I stopped slightly after this. This is where I think things start to go a little bit awry.
Hello to you, Robin, but since we are here in Pandora, the world of Avatar, maybe I should say Kalti, which is hello and Navi. You know,
No. No. I want to say assalamu alaikum, salaikum salam to all of my Avatar people out there. She might as well have said that. It's a, you, oh. Yeah, how did they get fake plants out of the computer? JT says, I don't know. I call it James Cameron witchcraft, if you ask me.
Cameron, the famous movie director and creator of the movie Avatar, who has been integral in creating this world, said that this is like dreaming with your eyes wide open, and it really is.
I think that's called mescaline. Mescaline. Do that. That's dreaming with your eyes open right there.
Look behind me. We have the interactive Flaska. Then just beyond that, you have the floating mountains. Don't ask them.
Oh, the Flaska. God, I love the Flaska.
And then this place glows at night. It is bioluminescent. It's absolutely spectacular. And we have a sneak peek.
Oh, who's ready? Who's ready for this? I'm excited. It's bioluminescent. It's flipping. It's flowing. It's doing the hottest stuff. Oh, how can you not be excited?
The movie Avatar took place on the moon of Pandora, green and magical and at one with nature. And now their world is on our world. Welcome to Pandora.
I've been involved with this for years, and I still find things...
Oh, my God. Oh, hold on. Hold on. I swear to you, I've seen a video with this dude in it previously. Holy crap. Look at this guy. Look at this SOB right here. This, ladies, is the man that your mother's warned you about. This, he's got the ear crap going on. He's got a face on him that looks like he's frightened a beaver or something. And he's intense as all shit. He's like, if Stephen Lang was if his character in Avatar was a dirty ass hippie, that's what oh my God, let's keep going. This is bad. Holy snap, look at this moron. Look at how intense he is. Look at those eyes.
Find things new to see. You are transported to a different place, but it's rich with the flora and the fauna of the planet and with floating mountains that are 156 feet high with cascading waterfalls that you can walk under.
Oh, can you feel the splendiferness of it all? That's a word. Oh, you can walk, gee, there's waterfalls and you can walk underneath them, you guys. Walk underneath waterfalls. Are you excited? Fuck, am I excited?
How did you guys do this?
We're never going to tell you.
How did you do this? We have water that comes out of the thing. I'd say it comes from a pipe at some point. Edward says he has a high school janitor's key ring stuck in his ear.
Collaboration between Disney and Avatar's movie producers. Right now, this land is still under wraps, but I got a sneak peek at this fictional world come to life.
I would do so much drugs.
If you're a fan of the movie, you'll feel like you're stepping into the screen. The floating mountains, here. The movie's...
You'll feel like you stepped into the screen. So, mediocrity... I guess. I don't know.
Lush forests, exotic plants, all here.
This is the first time I feel like I'm walking in the movie.
Really?
I feel like I'm walking on sunshine. What in the girl? We didn't. You ever see that AMC show where the girl's like, there's this little skinny white chick, and she's, And her addiction or whatever, I think it was intervention or something. I don't know if it was intervention, but something along those lines, where she was huffing paint. I know you shouldn't have, you know, look, she had problems, but it is kind of funny. But, you know, how she acted was kind of funny. It's sad and tragic. Yeah. But and they parodied it in South Park, so that's how you know it kind of went through the zeitgeist of the culture. But she was huffing on some paint. And she just goes, I'm walking on sunshine. That's what this asshole's like. Look at me, I'm walking on sunshine. The theme park was designed by the guys in Half Baked. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be some big candy bars and shit walking around. I'm all for it.
The sets.
It's computers, you dumbass.
Everything.
becomes research.
We're going to be bringing down our production designer, our cast, and other people, and they too can feel like they went to Pandora.
Wait a minute. You're going to be bringing down the cast? The hell? How is the cast going to help you build this thing? Well, we're bringing down members of the crew. They've never built a physical set in their entire lives. It's all been in a computer, but hey, who gives a crap, right? But we're going to be bringing them in. We're going to be bringing members of the cast in to make them feel like they've actually been in Pandora, right? Because they've never actually been. They've only had the 3D suits on. They've never seen it in the real world. So it's pretty spectacular.
There are two Pandoras, day and night.
Everything around us is bioluminescent.
Here's when your acid kicks in.
That is coming from the living things around us.
Oh my God. Look at, you're right. That is a janitor's key ring.
Even the food is otherworldly. The drinks sparkle. And this dessert?
This is our Navi blueberry cheesecake.
You don't mind if I eat the whole thing, do you?
I'm very happy if you like it,
actually. I'm very happy if you like it. Would you like to eat the cheesecake? Put it in your mouth. Do I need to tell you what the blue stuff is? Do I? Here's a hint. It comes out of the braid. You know what they do with those braids, don't you? It comes out of the Navi braid. What do you think? What would you pay now?
It's really good. But of course, it wouldn't be Disney World without the rides. On Flight of Passage, you're scanned and matched to your very own avatar.
Ugh.
Oh.
Decontaminating you now?
By decontaminating you, we mean putting sulfuric acid on your skin. Hope you don't mind.
Decontaminated and avatared. I am ready to go.
Put on your riding goggles.
All right, it's go time, but sorry, you can't watch because this is still...
These glasses. You thought you were a tool when you went into the IMAX and had to put on those big yellow things and look like a complete and utter tool. Oh my gosh. I like how they're like, we're going to go on a ride, but we're not going to tell you about it because it's not open yet. It's special. There's nothing there. I can tell you that right now. There's not a damn thing there.
Top secret.
Get out.
Get out, assholes.
Top secret, but you can hear my reactions. Trust me, it makes you feel like you're flying on your own personal banshee.
Ugh.
And pretty soon, you can too. You really do have to experience.
Oh, namaste, everybody. Those hands up at the beginning. She's so humbled by the experience. I got to ride in a 3D roller coaster, you guys. I almost shit my pants. It was that exciting. Oh my God. You gotta get to Avatar Land right now. Do it.
And Robin, you know how much I love to talk? I was completely speechless after that ride, breathless. It just knocked it, you guys. It just
it really my God, it had quite the effect. She can't even speak anymore.
Touch, taste, all of it. And when you do visit this world, you guys, it's pretty spectacular. There are some gentle nods to the original movie, as well as some maybe possible foreshadowing to the four sequels.
Ooh, eight more sequels, everybody. Keep your pants in check.
End of May, you can visit this world as well.
All right. Have a great time, Paula. Thank you. And you can see more.
Oh, my dear heavenly Lord. So, that being said, who's excited to go to Pandora? I mean, like, I know you can go to all these other places and do, you know, things, but why would you? Why would you go anyplace else? And I'm sorry. I didn't want to do it. But this is a gold mine. This is a gold mine. We're going in we're going in deep, everybody. We're going in deep. We got another one here. If you thought that was bad, strap on your butts. That's right, we got Whoopi Goldberg over here in The View, and she's talking to Jimmy Cameron herself. Let's watch this, for Christ's sakes.
And we're back with Oscar-winning director
James Cameron.
Hey, everybody.
Who is the king
James
of
Cameron.
A whole new world in Disney's Animal Kingdom. I didn't write it, but I'm going to say it. It's called Pandora, the world of Avatar.
Did they tell you to do that arm swish, Whoopi?
And he gave me an exclusive first look. Look at this, y'all.
Look at it, y'all.
I'm so excited about this.
I so want to do it.
She just sounds like an old female George Burns. I want to do it. It's going to be great.
Oh, my God.
Look up. That's floating in the sky.
Oh, my God.
You just went 4.4 light years. You're on Pandora.
The expedition begins right here in the Valley of Moara, where you're completely immersed in Pandora, the world of Avatar.
See, no one talks about how, like, horrible this is going to be when you're surrounded by, you know, 8 billion crummy tourists who are just like you that are just going, what's going on? Look at all the stuff. Look at all the things. I'm wearing a Goofy shirt right now. Take a picture. If you're getting a behind the scenes tour and it's just you there, yeah, you can be traveled away through, you know, a mystical, magical universe. If you're walking in this mystical, magical universe and you could smell churros 50 feet that way, chances are it's probably not nearly as magical as you might think that it is.
Now check this out. Here's your whole floating mountain range. And you can walk right under it. Look at this.
Oh, my God. Look
at that amazing?
This.
Look, and it keeps going. There's more.
Okay, they've said this twice now. Two different things. They are really all about, yo, you can walk under this thing. You can walk under these. You can go near the waterfalls and walk underneath them. Are you guys excited by that? I'm not.
Over there. So we have a mixture of, you know, earth plants, and then we have the exotic Pandoran foliage
right.
That's sculpted by sculptors.
Bullcrap plants.
And it really gives the illusion that it's a real ecosystem.
Right.
It's fine to see something in a movie where you know it's a visual effect.
Right.
But when you're standing in it, and you're looking around 360 in every direction, and you're on Pandora.
Right.
Everywhere you look.
So when you look, does it get you a little just...
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So when you're looking at it, Jimmy, does it give you a little, you know, does it, you know, does it do anything for you? Does it arouse any feelings? Does it excite you in any way? It excites me. So stupid.
It does. Can you imagine? I mean, you think of something, you do a few sketches, and then years later, you're standing in it.
And 15 years later, you eventually get around to it when you feel like it. Hey, Jim?
Wanate Kamea.
Wanate Kamea is I see you.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Nake Kamea is I see you. You know, there's a lot of things about cultural appropriation, and we're making up cultures to appropriate over here. This is awful. This is just like, this is... This makes Klingon seem real, doesn't it? I don't know.
And it's not like I see you literally. Right. It's I see who you are.
Right.
Or
I see through all of your bullshit. I see through your wallet. It's going to cost you $115 a ticket to get your ass in here. I see through you. I see you. I see you got I see you got money to spend. Get your ass down here to Disney, damn it.
When she says it to him in the movie,
right.
I see who you have always been that right. I didn't see.
Right.
A scumbag, you know? So who came to my planet to help thing. Rape it. Okay, whatever.
Just wants to be seen.
Yes.
You know, they just want to be understood.
Right.
And if we could just see each other in this world,
yeah.
Really understand each other.
Right.
Oh, yeah, man.
I think it probably would. Well, should we?
You know, because here's the thing, everybody. I don't know if you know this. I'm sure that a lot of you do. But the key for our society to get past where we are right now, there's a lot of discord, a lot of disharmony that's going on right now. But the way that we get past all that, the way that we can see each other, like for real, has been sitting here in our back pockets the whole time with Avatar, bro. It's been sitting there, and we have been, I guess on purpose, ignoring it. Avatar has been there. Avatar are the key to civilized life on this earth. For all of us loving one another, has been there in Avatar the entire time, and we have been ignoring it. I count you all guilty. I count every fucking one of you guilty. Jesus Christ, this is long.
To them?
Sure, let's say it.
All right.
Say it.
All right.
Well, not be coming.
Salaikum salam.
You're a natural at this.
You see how it does nothing? We say the magical words. We say alakazam, alakazoom, and nothing happens. Isn't that a blast? That's a hoot and holler right there.
So, we're on Pandora.
Right.
Where are we in the timeline?
So it's Avatar, the first movie.
Right.
Then there are the four sequels that we're working on now.
That's right.
And then a whole generation after that, when all the conflict, all the struggle, all the warfare between the Na'vi and the humans is over.
Right.
And the Na'vi have welcomed us to Pandora to help us understand.
Right. Hold on. Hold on. So this cat just basically said, we're going to do we got the first Avatar movie. That's done. We all know that. The next one that we're going to, like, we got four movies that are coming after that. So five movies. I'm marking it right here. How many people we got in the chat room right now? All right, so we got four people watching live right now. If you mark this down, I want each of you to take a note right now. I want you to say, I'm in. And I'm going to count you in the chat room. Say, I'm in. And if we get to five full Avatar movies before the year, let's be generous. Let's say 2025. Let's gather two a year. No, I'm going to say by, no, just period. I think we got to put a date on it. So if we get to five Avatar movies by 2035, that's a plenty of time. That's plenty of time, I think. If we get to five movies by then, I will give each of you $100. Now, by the time 2035 comes around, it's going to be worth about $1.50, but I will give that to each person in the chat room. So all four of you, by 2035, mark this in your calendars. I'll give you each $100 if there are five Avatar movies by 2035. I'll give you all $200 each. I feel like I'll be rolling then. There's no way in sweet hell. So apparently this takes place after all those, like, movies, I guess.
Nature and ourselves.
God, what a load of horse shit this guy is.
Asleep. Do the films reveal themselves to you?
Yeah, I work.
Do you smoke weed to get your ideas?
Like the whole bioluminescent forest that you're going to see later.
Right.
That came right from a dream when I was 17 years old. I got up and sketched it out.
Really? Yeah. When you were 17? Wait. You just said when you were 17.
Yeah. Well, I've been working on this for a long time.
Avatar, bitch.
Yeah. This whole land will light up at night. All these plants will glow in purples and cyans, beautiful colors. I actually think, in a way, it's more magical at night.
Yes.
We see Pandora by day.
Yes. More magical.
See it.
It's more magical, I tell you. Every time, more magical. That's my Whoopi Goldberg.
Two incredible experiences in this new world. You can soar on the back of a mountain banshee, or you can travel on the Na'vi River journey deep into the
All right, I'm done. Jesus Christ. Okay. Anyways, so who's excited? No one? No one's excited? I'm shocked. I'm shocked and appalled. I'm scared, man. I thought we were all on board for this. I thought, theatrical release only, Joe. You are correct. Let's not try to make up some stuff here. These are only going to be theatrical things that I definitely want to happen. And I just play by the rules. Just play by the rules, Jimmy Cameron. That's all I'm asking you, man. I don't know. I'm not excited for this by any stretch of the imagination. I can't imagine anyone who is, and why you would be seems bizarre to me. If you're an Avatar fan, Skype in, tell me what you think, because I don't know anybody in their right mind that would think that this is a good idea. Okay. I don't think we have too much awful else to talk about. And like I said, it's going to be kind of a light thing. I had some casting news. I'll share this one real quick because this is something, I guess. So Deadpool 2, there had been some rumors back and forth about who was going to be coming in there. Apparently, Zazie Beetz is cast as Domino in Deadpool 2. I guess she's in. She stars in Atlanta with Danielle Glover. Don't really know who she is. Attractive lady. I imagine she's probably good if they hired her, you know. And so Ryan Reynolds put this on Twitter for her release. It's a little tough to make out, but if you look properly, there's the Z, the A, the Z and the E, and that. It's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit wonky, but hey, you know, you do what you do. And they go, Domino Effect. That's how he kind of labeled it. Isn't it fun? Isn't it fun? See? That's a name. They're in Dominoes. She's going to play Domino. Huh? Who's excited? I don't know. I guess she's fine. Are we just going to go the black eye, or are we going to... It'll be interesting. And apparently, I guess, like, from what I'm kind of sort of reading, they're thinking about basically doing, like, her and Deadpool and Cable for the X-Force movie and maybe, you know, whatever else kind of comes from that, I guess. I don't know. Kind of excited, kind of don't care. That's how these things work, you know. Okay, what else? Quick news. I count this amongst some of the good ones. If you saw the one earlier this year, I think it's a fantastic follow-up. We won't get another Jason Bourne movie unless it's something incredible. If you saw the last Jason Bourne movie, that probably comes as music to your ears, because that last one was a giant utter letdown. I really enjoy the Bourne movies, and that last one really had me going, who gives a crap? Just, it was boring, it was lifeless. And I just didn't care. And that's something coming from these guys. I don't know. I had some more stuff. I don't know that I'm really in the mood for it, because there's you know, Avatar. God almighty, that took it out of me. They're casting some people for Aladdin. That's coming out. That's a thing. So, but, you know, the nice part is, because Disney's obviously Disney's been doing for quite some time now, is like, hey, do we have an animated thing that we haven't turned into a live action thing yet? Let's make that a thing that we actually do. So the Aladdin movie is out there. They're doing some casting calls and stuff like that. But just to assuage everybody, make sure everybody feels good, you know, here's a little casting call sheet. Live-action film adaptation of Disney's Aladdin, directed by Guy Ritchie. Seems weird that it's Guy Ritchie, right? Searching for Aladdin and Jasmine. These characters are Middle Eastern. Okay? All right? All right, people. So don't get your panties in a wad here. No, it's not Cultural Appropriation Month anymore. We're okay. They're gonna be Middle Eastern. They should be between 16 or 18 and 25 years old. Must be able to sing. Dance experience is a plus. So, you know, if you know somebody that's up for the role of Aladdin, there, man, check them out. I liked Aladdin when I was a kid, man. I really enjoyed it. And I will say this: the DVD for Aladdin actually has quite a good 5.1 surround mix on it. All right, I think that's about it. I think we're pretty set to go here for the show. I don't know that I have too awful much to talk about. The one thing that we do need to talk about, of course, is what we're going to be talking about next week. Now, I don't think we're going to be able to do it Sunday, but we will do it Monday because for scheduling purposes. But Sunday we'll have a regular show as per usual. But we're also going to have another special guest. That's right. If you've listened to the Film Find at all, you know that there's a gentleman that comes on every now and then to talk some movies with me. Usually they're of the kind of Japanese genre type. His name's Justin Mullis, nice guy. And we talked about most recently Shin Godzilla that came out. We also talked about, he'll probably be on something talking about Power Rangers with me too, because God knows that I need him for that as well. But he'll be talking, he'll be coming on this show to review us, Kong Skull Island, with us. So we'll be doing that on Monday. So that'll be, that should be really fun there. I'm excited for that. He's already seen it, and, he says it's quite good. So, we'll be talking about the King Kongs there. I hate how the trailers online are doing that. They're like, they give you a little teaser thing up front and then jump into it. But, yeah, so we'll be talking about Kong Skull Island. It is, at this point, certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's getting some good buzz out there. So we'll definitely be seeing that tomorrow, but I think we'll do an actual review with Justin on Monday evening. But you guys are definitely going to like Justin. He is a... if there's anybody that knows about this crap, it is him. He knows all of this kind of stuff, very deep history with kind of this type of movie, big monster movie fan and stuff like that. That's why I always have him on for, like, the Godzilla stuff, and I'm sure we'll have talked to him when the Power Rangers movie comes out because he's a big fan of that kind of stuff as well. So, you know, there'll be a lot of things to do, a lot of things to talk about and stuff. So, you know, we'll have that, man. It's going to be a fun time as always. So I hope you guys are looking forward to that as well, and we'll be talking about that next week. So until then, of course, you can always follow my other work, The Film Find, at thefilmfind.com, Preacher Podcast, and of course, Hear a Movie Podcast at hearamoviepodcast.com. This coming Monday, we'll be releasing an episode talking about The Flash, the pilot from the 90s. That's right. There was a thing back in the day before the CW. And, you know, you might if you watch the CW, you might recognize the star of that program as well. So we'll be talking about that as well. All right, everybody, man, that is pretty much it for me. I will see you guys all on Sunday evening right here at 10 p.m. If you always miss the show, remember, you can always pick it up on iTunes, Stitcher, or you can, you know, watch it on YouTube or whatever, man. And please go review us on iTunes if you get a chance. Would really, really appreciate that. Thank you guys so much, and I will talk to you on Sunday.